6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
And I hear the first officer call out. And the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, "Holy shit, it's the goat man." And I mean, it just like everything went quiet. And I could hear the ringing in my ears and I could feel my heart race. And so I hit my lights and I went flying up there.
I've been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have, any kind of power or anything that, or anything they were trying to do to you, it'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing, like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig, you know how they kind of bounce? Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing, and he was just kind of going back and forth from one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways, and he turned back over to the other way, and he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Okay, and welcome back. You're listening to Lodge Tales, and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. I've been meaning to get a hold of some of my sister's stories. Andrea Weatherwax is her name. She's my cousin, but we grew up together, all of us. So we all call each other brother and sister like that. And she grew up in that same area that I grew up at. You know, in this area, there's so many things that have happened there. You know, as far as the strange, paranormal, you know, that kind of stuff goes. She's all the way from Bigfoot to those little people, UFOs, what, star people, what do you want to call them? A lot of things like that. There was a water spirit one time that almost drug one of my other cousins into that green hole. Well, it did. It drug her down. It was like it was trying to drown her or something. Those giant owls that Arlen talks about, Arlen Potts, he's on the podcast. That spirit that was smiling, it made itself look like Taryn Williamson's sister. And it was smiling at her. Yeah, Taryn's on the podcast too. You can search her up and re-listen to that one if you want. But, I mean, that's just off the top of my head. There's so many things that have happened. Now, I'm not saying it's this big spooky hub, but there are a lot of spirits there. And for me, I always feel safe there. That's home. You know, that's home to me. And I know there are really powerful spirits out there. Good ones. You know, that always watch over us, protect us. I know they're there. So, you know, I'm never afraid of these things. I'm always really happy when I walk down there along that creek. Or just being out there in general. I'm really happy to be there when I'm, you know, when I'm around out that way. I like it. I just feel good there. You know, I got so many memories there. And it'll always be home. But with Andrea and I, we talk about a lot of those stories. She shares a lot from her side. And, you know, they were out there quite a while, too, when they were kids. They'd be left alone out there, just like I'd be. I'd be left alone, but, you know, by choice, Grandpa would head to town. I'm going to stay out here. You know, I always liked being on that creek. That's where I kind of hung out at all the time. Spent most of my days was on that creek. And in the wintertime, yeah, we'd stay in, but be sledding, you know, when I was really young. So, yeah, that place has always been happy to me. But, like, that, there was that old boarding school that my grandpa attended. That's just down the creek, too. And, you know, there's a lot of spooky stories about that place, too. And, you know, I think about these times. And I also think about all of the ceremonies that they had there. You know, all those old ones. Be like what my grandpa's mom and them's generation, not that far back, my great grandma and them. And the generation before them, they all lived there. They all had medicine. They're all really, really holy people, all pretty powerful, you know. So there was a lot of good things that happened there. You know, a lot of the ceremonies, there's a lot of strong, powerful Blackfeet that come from that area. And I'm descended from them. But, I would just like to, you know, before we jump into this conversation with Andrea and I'd just like to challenge you guys. Challenge you to do something kind for somebody. You know, just out of the blue, don't expect nothing back. One kind thing, you know, just do it. You know, you can really change a lot by just doing one thing like that. And I try to help as much as I can with the people in my life. You know, we were raised to be there for one another. And as I get older, I realize that it's pretty important to keep those relationships strong and to help as much as you can. So, you know, just do that one thing. Who knows, it might put something good in the world that'll keep going for a while. That'd be pretty cool. All right, feeling nostalgic. Kind of lonesome thinking about everybody. Thinking about that. Anyways, where I grew up at. Well, let's go ahead and get into this conversation with my sister Andrea Weatherwax. And we just jump right in. We're already talking. I edited out that front part where there wasn't much going on. We were just kind of visiting, but this is right where the stories begin. So let's get into it right now. So what happened with that black rider or?
Oh, the black horse rider.
Yeah.
Well, my dad used to tell me, you know, because we'd go out riding a lot by myself, and he used to tell me and Daryl, you know, when you see that guy, you just, you know, don't pay attention to him, but you just keep riding and get home. And so one day, it was after my mom passed away, I'd get on my horse in the evening time and go ride just, you know, to kind of help the loneliness, because it seemed like everybody had just left our home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went riding, and I went up over the ridge by Uncle James's. I went to go help him check some horses out. So I went up and pushed him into his side of the field, and I was coming back, and it was kind of getting evening time, but on the side of the you know where the corral, there's a barn up there.
Mm-hmm.
Up behind our house.
Yeah.
And so I seen him coming from that direction, like from east to west. I was coming from west to going to east, And I seen him. And as I got to the coulee right behind our house, we kind of go down. So I seen him coming down at the same time. And it was, you know, cloudy, rainy out, like it was going to rain and lightning. So I'd see a couple lightning strikes here and there. And I thought, well, I better get home. It's getting late. Well, I thought it was Uncle Daryl coming. And, or I don't know if you want me to say his name. Well, anyway, I thought he was out, the one coming down. Well, I seen him coming off of the hill, and I just went on down, let my horse go, and I went into the house. Well, the horse rider never did show up. And I thought, well, maybe he went to Uncle James's, you know, maybe it wasn't, you know, Uncle. So anyway, it started getting dark out, and it was lightning and thundering, raining, and I heard this horse rider come up by the window, and I thought, oh, maybe it's Uncle, you know, Uncle right now, you know. So he come around the house, and I can hear him stop in the front of the old pink house, mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, well, maybe he's just going to unsaddle right there and come in. It's real raining. Well, I heard him get off of his horse and come to the door, and the doorknob kind of jingled around a little bit. And I thought, what? You know, because we never did lock doors, you know, so the door wasn't locked. And then my dog was real barking. We used to have this dog, this blue heeler, and my dog was real barking and like viciously barking. And pretty soon my dog just got kicked off of the porch. And he like ran under the porch, like running away from something. And it was just like he was just getting kicked, continuously kicked. And he runs from underneath the porch and runs around the house and run like towards the barn. And whatever was out there kind of like rode around a few times, rode around the house a couple times, got back on its horse and headed out. But I was by myself that day, and after it went away, it was like it lasted forever, like it lasted a long time. But when the sound or the guy went away, horse rider went away, the bells start ringing in the house, and they used to always kind of ring in the kitchen, that kitchen area by the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that area, those bells would start ringing, you know, like they were playing a song or something, or, you know, singing or whatever. And you can hear this old guy singing very faintly.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, then I, you know, I at first I wasn't scared, but then after a while that started happening too, you know. I was like getting scared because I was all by myself, and I was just a young girl, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, what's wrong? You know, what's going on? It seemed like it lasted all night, and I must have fell asleep, and I woke up. It was morning, but it was like it lasted all night, you know, especially the singing.
What was he singing just like in English? Indian? Oh, singing
no, Indian? Singing Indian. He was singing Indian songs, and you can faintly hear him like he was in, like, you know where the old pump well is behind the pink house?
Yeah.
Right there is like he was back there singing. And my dog never did show back up till the next day. I went out that morning. I went out just to go check things and see if there was any tracks around, you know, like horse tracks. I didn't see no horse tracks, no foot tracks, nothing. And my dog, he was by the barn. He was a scared all chicken guy. So I got him back over by the house with me. And Uncle Daryl showed up not long after that. I was pretty happy about that.
Oh. Yeah, that rider. I've heard about him a couple times, but never nothing like that. Jeez. Do you know the other stuff with those bells? I've only heard them one time, and it wasn't out there. It was actually in town at the old graveyard in town. I was walking through that trying to go from Olo Rent back over toward behind the Junction Drive and, like, you know, my dad's house.
And yeah.
They were throwing them at me, though. They were, like, throwing them on the ground. I could hear Belt, but wow. I couldn't see them. I could hear them. I could, you know, but it's the only time I ever heard those bells.
When we first moved out to the house into Medicine, Grandma Sippy Nikki, she was still alive. I still remember her, old Grandma Sippy Nikki. And she, they had her like a room at the old Yagan's. And we went and picked her up that time and brought her out there. And she was never talked English. She just spoke Blackfeet. And she was telling us stories. And she was in the house and they were getting ready to renovate it. And she was talking to my dad and telling him about all the stuff, what she wanted kept. There was old meat grinder in there, berry grinder. And she was telling him to make pemmican and put it up on that roof before he redid that roof. But, you know, I remember her, and she used to tell, and she told him, your little ones, when the sun goes down, you go down too. And she said, it's, you know, sacred place, sacred grounds, holy grounds. Well, us girls never would listen and pay attention. Shelly was the little, she used to like to race, you know, like at nighttime, start laughing, start wrestling around. And my dad used to say, you girls behave now, you know, it's time to, time for bed. Well, we wouldn't listen. We'd start hearing those bells, but it was like it was putting us to bed, you know, like reminding us it's bedtime, you know. So it wasn't scary at first, it was, but after a while we learned to pay attention.
And that place out there, there's a lot of spirits out there. There's a lot.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, you know, my dad used to just talk about, you know, the things that he's seen alone, and this one always sticks with me. I don't know why. You know, that time, you know, my grandpa passed, and shit, it was the only time I ever seen my dad cry. The only time. But he would sit on that hill behind my grandpa's house and look down across that bottom over to that creek. And he was just sitting there like that. I went up there and I sat down by him, and I just seen tears running down his side. He wasn't crying, you know, like crying. Yeah. It's just tears running down, and he just started talking to me, and he says, you know, he said, right across that river, he said, I'd come up here and sit. He says, and one night I was sitting up here and I was looking across that river. He said, and I could just see all these, like they were moving camp, all these Blackfeet. They were just all walking. You could hear them. You could hear the horses. You could hear those kids laughing. And all those people were moving up that river on that side. He said, but it wasn't, he kind of had a hard time explaining how it was, because he said there was just like a opening where he would see them, and then they would cross through that opening like a window. Like he was looking, yeah, in just a circle. He said there was just like this part, like he said, like a window, but it was round. I would see them all walk by that, but I'd never, you know, and I could see there's nothing blocking it, but I could only see just a bit of them. He said, and it would happen. He says it was just a big one at first, then there were just small ones where I'd just see little bits of them go through. He said, but I seen them all walking up that way. He said, but I couldn't just sit there and stare at them and watch them like how people would be walking. He said, no, it was just like these weird little areas where I could see them, and they would walk by that, and I'd see.
Yeah, we was told not to go outside at nighttime. Well, there was a few times we did outside. We'd go outside and, you know, all a whole bunch of us be out there being loud by the barn and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Well, we start hearing the kids down below, you know, like hollering at us, hey, you guys, come down and play, you know, and hollering at us like that, you know, and one of the boys would say, hey, did you guys hear that? We'd say, listen, and we'd be like, hello, you know, hollering back at them, and they were like, come down here, meet us down here, let's play. And, you know, we all start heading back to the house that one time when we first heard it, all running. And we leave just one of the younger ones got left in the middle of the, there used to be a arena up on the top, and she got left right in the middle. So the two older ones had to run back over, get her and bring her back. She was crying, but everybody was just scrambling, trying to get, you know, get to the pink house because, you know, we heard all that. And pretty soon we seen this light down in the, it was like this orange light down in the brush. And it was just like, we thought it was the sun, or we thought it was like the moon or whatever. We didn't know what it was. It was just a light, and it just hovered down there for a long time, and it just like shot back in the sky, and we just didn't see it anymore. But we was home alone, just the kids, so we was, you know, we was all scared, all huddled in the back room, and it was things that I think about now, and I'm thinking, well, it showed itself to us, you know. Didn't harm us, but it showed itself.
That's weird that Taryn seen something like that. You know, she's on the podcast on one of these earlier ones, but she thinks it was something else because she was looking at it with a scope. One of her friends and her boyfriend had a rifle with a scope, and she was looking over at it, and because she thought somebody was, you know, partying, and they had a bonfire going somewhere across the creek, but up the side of that hill a little bit. She thought it was a weird spot, but when she looked, she thought she seen a little craft. She said, because I could see these little things inside of it, like these little beings, humanoid looking things in there. She said, but it looked like a little craft. Yeah, I don't know, man. But she said it looked orange too, like a fire or something.
Yeah, like a fire. This thing just hovered like above the water, or above the, you know, like the bank where the river drops off to, down there by the brush. And it just like hovered there for a while, and it was just there, and then it just shot in the air, and it was gone. And then this other time, talking about Taryn seeing the fire, I gave your dad a ride over to Uncle's, and we was just leaving from there, and we over by where Auntie's house is now. Mm-hmm. We was just driving, and I was like, hey, look at somebody, because young kids used to try to party down there. Mm-hmm. And I was all like, hey, look, I was all like, there's a fire, bonfire going on over there. And he's all like, shit, we better get over there. Oh, sorry for cussing. He's all like, we better get over there. He said, might burn it up. You know, he said a few other things. We laughed, and so we drinking our beer and whatnot, but we headed over there. We get there, and it used to be the brown stucco house out there, and we get there, and there, it's just dark. It's just dark everywhere. But as we was coming up, when we pulled off and coming up the canal road, we could still see the flames or the flickering. But when we actually get there, there's nobody there. There's nobody around. There's no fire. We don't know where that light went. It looked like a fire to us. It looked like a fire. Even like how it flickers, you know, against trees, or you could see the a flame compared to a light. So it was a fire that we saw.
Jeez.
But we got there, and it wasn't. And he's kind of say, what do you say we get out of here? kind of step on it, he said.
First story I ever heard of those little people out there was from him. They seen one of their little wagons, you know, they were getting wood, and they walked past it, and they just left it alone, and then on the way back through, it was gone. I remember him telling me that once, and I just thought about it, like, huh. Never, you know, put it in the back of my mind. Never really Then he told me it again. And I said, well, wait, what kind of wagon? Like a kid's wagon? Like you have to pull each other around? And he said, no, no, like an old, old wagon. That's what I, you know, I always think about that. Those little people that are out there. Because they are out there. I've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen them.
What? It happened a few times.
What happened that time when that little one was throwing that shoe? Or how did that?
We was cleaning up and whatnot, but we was sitting around there and that shoe come flying from the back room. And we was all like, well, how did that happen, you know? You know, like, who's back there?
Yeah.
And so we threw it back in there and he threw it back at us again. You know, I believe, you know, those little people are, I don't know if some people's scary or what, but, you know, like being out there, being raised out there, I never felt scared. I never felt creeped out, or I always thought, wow, they're showing themselves to me, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, especially with that happening, the shoe being threw back at me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like sitting there and it was like a little guy peeked out at us and it would just threw that shoe, you know, threw that shoe. And we's like, what is it? You know, who is that? Freaked out like that. But we, I don't know, brother, it's just almost like we lived with it. Yeah. I don't know. the things that we've seen out there, you know, from the kids. Oh, this other time too, we's come back from a rodeo and we had to park, you know, that old Scriver place across the creek from us.
Mm-hmm.
We's riding our horses back across. It was dark time. We had to go through that brush right there. And old grandparents' place down there that got washed away in that brush. I don't know if you've seen it before.
Yeah, I have.
And, well, it was right in there. You could just hear somebody. It was dark time. It was dark. And we just hear this other horse come just loping right behind us. We get across the river and we're like running to the field. Well, the bottom field, I had to stop and jump off, open the gate. But you can hear these horses, like they were horseback riders, running full blast towards us in the back. And Shelly was all like, jump on, let us go, go, go. And we was on bareback. And so I swung on my horse and we went running. We just let them go. They ran, but you can hear like horses behind us, like galloping right close to us. We get up to the house, we jump off. There was that outside light. We just unhalter our horses right there and run in. But there was nobody else that came up behind us, but it was like they chased us right to the house. Yeah. You know, in a car too, we used to always see a car on that ditch bank. It was either coming up or going down. And this time we come from Browning, we's heading up. My dad and Daryl was at the house and shoot, we tried to catch it. We tried to catch it, and it went right by the house, and we pulled in, and we're like, oh, did you guys see the car? Because they were always looking out that window, who it was, you know. Mm-hmm. Would you guys see that car go by? No, what car? We chased the car up this way, you know, never, no car ever come back or whatever. But we'd see a car every now and then out there.
Damn, I think that's a, oh, geez, that might make, that makes sense now. So you remember that time I was home on leave and we thought one of our cousins was coming up? See, it was me, you, Chas, Greg, my dad. Chas had a snag from Cutbank. And and see, Uncle Kenny and his wife. Remember we were all sitting down there one night? But we thought that Theodora's boy was coming up, driving up. That's what she thought, because those lights pulled up and they stopped on that bend, kind of like where you can pull it, stop there, turn the lights off. And I just kept watching and thinking, geez, I hope that's him, because, you know, I was the youngest one there and I wanted to just kind of BS with him, but nothing. So I decided to walk up there. Well, first what happened was that car come and it turned its lights off and it stayed there. And then not too much longer after that, a cop came up and he was spotlighting down at us. And I remember Uncle was saying, no, don't worry, it's private property. He can't come down here. Plus, we're all of age. There's nothing. So he shined him. He rode up a ways. He must have turned around right up by those cattle guards and then come back. Shined it down there again. Kept driving. But I was still looking at that spot where I thought our cousin was. And I was like, geez, I'm going to walk down there and see. So I walked down there. And nobody was staying in that new house or that, you know, that pink house was back there too. But nobody was staying there yet. I get up on that ditch bank and I walk down. Looking all around, nobody there. And I was thinking, geez, where did he go? I didn't see him turn because I've been watching that spot. You know, I was kind of happy that he was there and I'm excited to see him, you know, because I hadn't seen him in a while. So wasn't there. And I walked down further where you can see straight down that road where it gets straight. Nothing, nobody. I thought, well, maybe it's not as far up as I thought. Maybe it was just, it's night. Maybe I just didn't see, you know, where he was actually at. So I went further. There's nobody there. Mm-hmm. But that's when I start coming back, and that's when I was wondering, like, where did that car go? It still made me, I bet you I seen that, but anyways, on the way back is when I seen that little man on that bridge, because there was only one side of that bridge up, the other side was caved in.
Uh-huh.
When I seen him, he seen me, oh, he just tensed, like I did, like I was getting ready to run, and he tensed, and he looked at me, and he just dove in that water. I could see his little braids, he had no shirt on, little Indian. Could see his braids. They were tied behind his back. Yeah, he had two braids, but they were tied. He just dove, seeing his little arms, little shoulders. He really dove.
Wow.
It was high up for him, too. When I think about it, man, that was a pretty big dive for him. But he dove right off, and he never came up. But that's...
You think they were there. They're still there, probably. Yeah. I just don't ever see them.
Yeah, they're around there. They're around.
Yeah, definitely are.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance, like your first home expansion. Or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Families agents. Life's better when you're under American Families roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company SI and its operating company 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I've
seen them.
I remember you guys talking, I don't know who it was, somebody was saying one of those little people was really raising hell, and he was dragging one of those girls under the bed or something one time.
Yeah, that was Sherry, and Dalbert was living out there that time, and Sherry always seemed to be spooky like that, like Uncle Daryl, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and it was probably because they showed themselves to them more, you know?
Yeah.
You know, not everybody gets to see these. And Well, Sherry was always seeing them, those little people. Well, anyway, her and Albert were there, and Audra, they made a bed for Audra on the floor right there. And she said, Mom, she said, I feel somebody pulling on me. And Sherry said, Nah, you're just, you know, imagining it. Go to sleep. You're going to be okay. Well, just as she said that, that little guy pulled her under by her feet.
Boom.
Pulled her under that bed. And she starts screaming, you know, and Mom, and Sherry jumped up and grabbed her and pulled her out of that bed. And she said, he pulled me under there. He pulled me under there. You're not paying attention. So Sherry sure put her, turned on the lights, and Uncle Darryl was in that kitchen, and he told her, you got to listen to her when she tells you stuff like that. Those kids see things, you know, more than an adult eye would. He said, pay attention. He said, put her in that bed with you. Anyway, Uncle Darryl and her slept with all the lights on. It's like that time, too. We was, me and Dalvin was out there. It was winter time. And I was this, Caleb was just a newborn. And he was outside getting wood together. And I was in that kitchen. And it was just like somebody pushed my shoulder, and I turned around. And when I turned around right by that stairwell, just like somebody went down, like they were playing peekaboo or something, you know, like squatted down real fast. And I heard them run downstairs. And I said, Dalvin, you can't scare me. I know it's you. Well, I went down there. Oh, I went in the living room and looked to see if he was still outside by the wood pile. And sure enough, he was still out there. And I was all like, who is that? You know, and I went down there. I chased it back out of there, whatever it was. I opened up the door and I'm like, you need to get out, because it scared me, you know. So I knew it wasn't good.
Yeah.
I was all like, you don't belong here. You need to get out. But yeah, and then after I did that, it was just like the door just slammed. Because I was still downstairs, but on my way down there, I opened the door, you know, because I knew I was going to chase it out. And I was still down there, downstairs, and I was saying, you don't belong here. You're not welcome here. And that door just slammed shut. Yeah.
It never came back?
Never. Nope. I went upstairs, and I looked. I knocked at Dalvin. I told him, come in. And he came inside, and I start telling him about it. And he was all like, you know, you stay burn cedar. And, you know, he's like, let's burn some cedar. So he went through the house. I was okay at first. I got scared, though. So I knew it wasn't, you know, good, because I never really get scared. And, geez, yeah. So we chased it out of there, whatever it was.
That is a lot. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's just a lot that happens out there. I mean, so many people that lived out there, just in that whole valley, you know, they got a lot of stories. I'd be really kind of curious to hear some of the people that live up the creek and the other ones that live down by Mission. I'd like to hear some of theirs. There's probably a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, just like the other time, too, Uncle Darryl, he'd go visit Charlie and Patrick, and then go over to Chi-Chi and Marie's, and then back over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one night, my dad told him, now, Darryl, you know, don't be riding, you know, too late coming back. There was this one traveler going through years ago. Him and his wife, he had a native wife, but he was a white settler. And they were passing through. Well, she was going to have a baby, or she did have a baby, and she died.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sippy, Nikki, and Uppy One, they're the ones that helped that guy, because he was traveling. There's an old wagon trail up there on the top. Grandpa Philip, he came across him, and they helped him, but that woman had passed away, mm-hmm. and asked them if he could bury her. Well, she's on the top of that hill by where those barns are.
Mm-hmm.
She's buried kind of on the edge of that hill up there. And my dad told Daryl, no, Daryl, don't be riding too late at night. You know, try to get home early. And Daryl, yeah, I'll be okay. Geez, he comes across from Chi-Chi's. He stopped at Uncle Teddy's and he dropped down in that little coulee right there, and he went across by Auntie Fran's.
Mm-hmm.
And he said when he got down at that bottom, he said he felt really like a force of spirits. He said it felt so thick. My back was so thick down there. He said, I start running. He said, it felt like I was losing my breath. He said, so I just let my horse go. He said, I kind of kicked him up. He said, I thought, well, I'll just ride up on the top and come over. So he crossed right there by Franz and went across the ditch bank and went up on that hill and come up over by the house and dropped back down. Well, he just unsaddled and everything right by the door, and he just came in. And early that morning, we heard, you know, water running, coffee pot being messed with, and we thought each other was making coffee. My dad thought Daryl was making coffee. I thought they were up making coffee. Anyway, Daryl, it was pretty early we heard this, you know. It was like 5 in the morning, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon we could just hear Daryl holler, you know, and, ah, you son of a SB, you know. And, you know, Uncle Daryl was a snaky guy anyway.
Yeah.
And, we all jump up. My dad comes running in the kitchen. What's going on? You okay? You okay? He said, oh, that dirty thing was standing at the end of my bed looking at me. And my dad said, what's going on? He said he thought it was my dad or me making coffee. He said, and he was going to look up and say, well, let's get up and make, you know, breakfast too. He said, soon as he looked up like that, that old lady was standing at the edge of his bed looking at him. And he hollered, and when he hollered, he said he threw the covers over his head. He said in that time he was thinking, she's going to get me anyway. Ah, you son of a... He was just a cussing. And that's when my dad went running in there and turned that light on. He said, Daryl was white as a ghost. He said, he jumped up. Where's your smudge? Bum, bum, you need a light smudge. My dad told him, I told you no more riding around at nighttime. Yeah, that old lady was standing there looking at him.
Oh, he followed him home.
Followed him home. Yeah, old white lady.
Jeez.
Well, she wasn't white, I don't think, but white hair, he said.
Yeah.
White hair, old. Yeah.
Dang. I wonder if, you know, because I never hear any stories up by James's. I never have. I wonder if they ever get stuff going on up there.
I'm sure. You know, I'm sure, but they just probably, like me, just lived with it.
You know, there was only one time something happened up there, man, and geez, I don't even really want to. I just seen people up top there. Oh, there were people up there. You know where those graves are?
Yeah.
There's people standing up there now. Yeah, I don't know. We were all sitting around that table, you know how we used to do that all night?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that morning coming, I seen those people up there, man. I didn't want to sit in that spot anymore looking toward that window.
Oh.
James didn't even care. All I remember there was, because I never really knew who his folks were, you know. This was like one of those times I was home on leave, so I was just, you know, a teenager yet. And I didn't really know who his folks were, but That one lady, I knew who that lady was, and I don't know how I knew it, but they called her Sadie, that one, you know?
Yeah.
And that's who that one lady was that was standing up
His
there.
His mom.
She was dressed in an old, like a, you know how like, I don't know how to describe it, like people must have, like, to me it looked like they just bought some dress goods and made a dress. You know, it looked like that, like it was made, homemade.
Wow.
And there was another guy standing by her, and he was, no, he was messing around. He was like trying to poke her in the side, and she was kind of like swatting at his hand, and they just stood there looking at me. And I don't know who that guy was. I don't know who that was. I don't know who that was.
Yeah. Just like this, you talk about the old people like that, seeing that Sister Akita, her boy, Sonny, was just a newborn, and she heard like this old guy singing, and pretty soon there was lights around her baby, like dancing around, and she gets scared, and she's out there alone, so she gets him together and gets out to the truck. It was parked by the barn, and she starts going to town. She said, well, as she was going to town, she still could hear this old guy singing. She said, and she thought she would just get right to town, but when she got to our grandma's house, it was like 6 a.m. But when she left from the house into medicine, must have been early, like 10, you know, it was sundown. And she didn't get there till 6 a.m. And she just, my Uncle Kenny opened the door, and he said she was just pale and white. And she said, take my baby, and just gave him Carmen, and she fainted. She was, so she was with spirits or something.
That's only like a, 20-minute ride at the most?
Yeah. At the most, 20 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah. she was out there all that time. This time, you know, I never really got to hear the side of the story as I got older, but my mom said, I remember a story. She worked at the old hospital. She was medical records, and she would work at nighttime. Well, she was getting off of work at 11, and she was coming off of Spring Hill, and she said she seen this big bright light. She said it was just like it was over those cows. Well, there was a cup the next morning, and it took her like a time lapse. You know, that was 11 at night. She got off of work, so she must have been around there about 11:15 on Spring Hill, and didn't get to the house, to our house, till like 5 a.m. Yeah, and when they, that time there was a couple cows that were dead mysteriously on Spring Hill. They don't know what happened to them, or like they were burnt or something.
Yeah.
This was in the 80s. My mom passed away in 86, so it had to be in the early 80s.
Jeez.
Maybe we can investigate, you know, if there was ever anything ever written about it or spoke about it. But I remember hearing that story.
Yeah, one of those cops was talking about that too. He was supposed to send me some pictures, but I don't know, maybe I'll ask him about it again. He might have forgot, but yeah, he had to go, I think, out by Birch Creek somewhere. He had to go, and he said it was the weirdest thing he's ever seen. And those cows were mutilated, but he says how they were mutilated was really weird. It was really weird. He said there wasn't even no blood.
Wow.
Yeah, but he said how they were cut, he said it was really, really weird. But, you know, Taryn, when she's seen that thing that she thought was like a little craft and seen little people in it, they had time loss at some point after that too. I want to say if it was it a different time, I'm not sure, but she had that too, same thing. And I was up by Spring Hill, they had some time loss.
See, so it must be there. Yes, there is. But that's, you know, I don't have too many spooky stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
That's strange, though, isn't it? How
yeah.
Those things happen.
You think about it, all the things that we encounter are strange, you know? There was a few times, too, like, let's see, let me tell you about this one time. I'd always hang up my bridle, right? Mm-hmm. Always, my dad always told you, hang up your stuff, put things around. Well, he kept getting mad at me because every time I'd go in the barn, my bridle was on the ground. Well, one day I said, I'm gonna trick these guys. So I hung it on the outside. We got back to the barn that morning. My bridle wasn't outside. It was on the inside on the ground, right where it was always at. I told Dad, see? I told you it really wasn't me.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. But not get scared about it.
Yeah.
Didn't fear it.
But you know that time when I was really small and I heard those owls speaking Indian over there? You guys don't remember that, huh?
I don't.
That I asked my mom about it because she's the one that jerked me back in that house. Because I was in that back room with you guys, that pink room, and everybody started running out. My mom, dad, me, and I think Chas. Was Chas with us? I don't remember. But I just remember playing alone until they said we needed to go in. It started getting dark, so I went in, and you guys are watching Footloose. Jeez, I used to hate that movie, Footloose. Yeah, because I was too small, you know. I wanted to watch cartoons or something, but that was always being played. That and Coal Miner's Daughter. Oh, fuck, I hated those movies.
Hey. Those were classics.
I know, I was just a kid, though, and I wanted, you know, cartoons. But I remember being in that room and hearing everybody run out, and you guys always keep me in that room. I opened that door and I ran. That's when I seen, you know, your dad, Daryl, I think James. Anyways, they were all yelling at that barn, chasing, you know, throwing rocks. Get the hell out of, you know, like that. And
yeah.
I couldn't see what they were yelling at. But finally my eyes kind of drifted up and oh, there was those owls and they were all talking Indian like old men. It was quiet out too. It was one of those real quiet nights, you know, where you could hear everything.
Yeah.
And I heard them talk. Just then my mom grabbed me and jerked me in the house, you know. It hurt my neck too. She jerked me so hard and she was really mad. Get the hell in that house. What are you doing? I remember it hurt my neck, and that's all I remember about it. I don't know what happened. Like, was somebody out? You know how those guys would just kind of go on the side of the house and, you know, take a piss when they're drinking? Maybe that happened, and somebody ran in and said, hey, there's something out there, and maybe they all ran out. I have no idea, but I even asked my mom about that, too, and she said, no, I don't remember that. I don't remember. It's like, you don't? No. Maybe you guys were too far gone, or... But I think, I don't remember you guys coming out, any of the other kids, it was just me, you know. So maybe that's why, and they just never said anything about it, but, you know, I've always wondered about that. I thought you guys would have all remembered it, but no, I guess not.
I remember stories of it, but I don't remember the actual thing being taken place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's this other time, too. My grandma Catherine had just passed away, and we lived in her house in Browning. It was right on that, you know where the cop station is now?
Mm-hmm.
Those houses right there, behind there?
Yeah.
My grandma used to live right there, and she passed away while she was in a wheelchair. And before she passed away, she had lost some of her toes due to diabetes, and...
Mm.
Well, we was all missing her and whatnot, but her wheelchair, it just kind of come rolling out of her room. And we all just kind of looked at it, you know, like it just kind of come rolling out of her room. And we're all scared little girls, you know. And you go see. No, always all just scared, but we just left it. Our mom and dad got back and we told him about it. Sure enough, my dad looked back there when he just pushed it back in that room. He said, oh, you girls don't pay attention to it. You guys just pray. He said, might be just your grandma visiting, might be something like somebody that needs prayers. He said, so you just pray. Things like that happen to you, you just pray. Oh, just before that too, before my grandma had passed away, we used to be able to get to sleep by her because she used to have her leg rubbed, and she used to always be using mentholatum. And that night I said, Grandma, is it my turn to sleep by you? She said, yeah. So she fixed me up beside her. Well, we all just get to bed sleeping, and it's like I woke up and there was this image of this man standing in the door, and I couldn't scream. It was like I was trying to scream, but like my grandma wasn't hearing me. I couldn't move, and he was just standing there looking at us. And then when I finally was able to scream, my dad came running in, and it's like my dad just ran through him. And I was telling him, that man. And he was telling me, what, you know, where? And he was looking around, and I told him, you just ran through him, Dad. And I was crying, and he lit smudge and stuff. But my grandma had to go through surgery that time, and she didn't come back home. But little things like that. Old George Bird too. I used to tell her, Catherine. Oh, Georgie, poor G, put him in pie, kissed Catherine, and made her cry. Oh, she used to get mad at that story. But well, earlier that day, I was singing that song before that wheelchair came out. Yeah. That my dad, you know, he was trying to make us laugh and not think about the scary things. And he told me, he said, you ain't supposed to be singing her song. Geez, after that, I never did sing that song again till after I was older. I remembered that song. I said, Dad, you remember that song? He said, yeah. I said, remember that time her wheelchair came out? I said, I never did sing that song again. Oh, George Bird. Think about those old guys like that. We all got to have that little error that, you know, not a long time with them, but I remember them.
Yeah. Yeah. Daryl, man, he always had some stories. Things, it seemed like things are always happening to him, too. Like that time when that old lady Vernwald, when she passed away, they were over there cleaning it out. My dad was telling me this. He said, yeah, they were over there cleaning out that house and getting everything ready, and that old phone start ringing. They were looking all over for it. So finally he was in her room. The old lady that passed away was in her room, in her closet. And
Auntie Betty.
Yeah, and he dug under all that stuff, and oh, there was an old rotary phone just still ringing, not even plugged into nothing.
Oh.
Plum spook, you know how he gets. Oh, he just come running out of that, ran all the way over across the street to my dad's house. He's all pissed and told him what was going on, just cussing, you know, Plum's scared, won't go back over there.
I was going to say that he probably didn't go back over there after that. Just like that time when he fell with that gun and he shot himself in the hand down in the brush. Ooh. I was teasing him. I said he was trying to off himself. Well, anyway, he said he happened, one of those little men, he said he just come around that corner, he said, and he was just going to step over that tree that was down.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and that guy hollered at him. That little guy hollered at him, and remember, he was spooky?
Yeah.
He jumped and he fell, and that gun went off. He was just cussing, that little son of a SB was trying to kill me. I know it. Delvin was rushing him to town. Oh.
Have you seen a little people? Those little persons, huh?
Little person, yeah. Little person. He said he was just stepping over that. And that little guy hollered at him, hey, what you doing? And Daryl said he jumped sideways and fell. He said that gun went off. I was teasing him. He's trying to off your own self. He said, no, that little guy was trying to do it, my girl.
He's really get serious too, and when he tell you stuff,
yeah.
He's really matter of fact and serious about it.
Yeah. Just like that time too, he come walking up to my house. My kids were watching that Scream.
Mm-hmm.
And he knocked on the door. He just got done getting spooked up at my Grandpa Willie's house up at old Laurent.
Mm-hmm.
And he's come down. Jeezy seen an old lady up there in that hallway. Jeezy come down. He was all spooky. My kids were watching that movie Scream. He pounded on the door. My kids screamed. We heard Uncle Daryl scream. Open his goddamn door. It's me, Uncle Daryl. I opened it. He come in. He had his cane. He was just pointing it at them. Which one of you want to get beat up first? He said he woke up and he said it was just dark in there. He said, and I can hear somebody moving around. He said that bathroom light was on. He said, and he looked around that to see who was up. He said he thought it was Greg. And he looked around that corner. He said that woman was floating in that hallway, looking at him by that, standing there by that bathroom, but she was looking at him. And just floating. He said that dirty bitch was just floating in the air. He said he got his clothes on and he headed out of there. He come knock. I'm gonna stay with you tonight, my girl. I said, yeah, you could. Yeah.
Darryl.
Yeah, the Uncle Daryl was always getting spooked.
I remember my dad was telling me another one where he was ranch handing for that would it be Jim Revis? And there was a little bunkhouse down below his place. And there was another guy there and a woman. They were the ones hired on at the time. And just staying in that little bunkhouse on the bottom there. And they heard somebody singing Indian. I guess they were just playing crib. And they just stopped and they listened. And he was kind of tracking it. And it came all the way to that front door. And I guess that bunkhouse door come just swinging open. And there was a little man. Little Indian, you know, buckskin and everything. He had a hand drum and he was singing. He says, when that happened, my dad was telling me, yeah, I guess Daryl just kind of passed out, just blinked out. And when he came to, he was looking around. That little man was gone. He was looking, and that woman, he said she was kind of hysterical. She was having a laughing fit. She couldn't quit laughing. There was something wrong with her. And then that other guy that was there, I guess, he was trying to swallow his tongue. He was choking, trying to swallow his tongue, and I guess Daryl went over and kind of helped him. Must have put something in his mouth or something, but anyways, helped him and start dragging him up there, dragging that guy up there and that girl, like, come on, let's get up to that house and start, you know, walking with them, like, kind of helping them.
Yeah.
And they got up to that house and told that old man up there what was going on, and he must have done something. I don't remember after that.
Yeah. But,
yeah, that guy was always, something always happening to him.
He did too, man. He's seen it all. Yeah. I could say that's the man that's seen it all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, and then coming from Heart Butte over to the house all the time, different things he would happen to him, you know. You know, seeing things on side of the road and... You know, and shoot, he drank Canadian Mist. We thought the Canadian Mist was talking, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like people walking, you know, and then giving them a ride and finding out later on they weren't even alive anymore.
Oh, you know? That's weird. Really?
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, a couple times, a couple partners of his that were in Heart Butte, he gave them a ride.
Oh.
And they were gone.
Oh, jeez, he didn't even know it, huh?
No, he didn't know that they passed away, and he'd find out they were gone. Yeah, twice I remember him saying that. Yeah, he was always the one to get spooked if anybody was going to... Him or Sherry. Mm. I got to share this story about Sherry when she was just a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dad used to rodeo, and there was kind of like some bad medicine that was put on him over him. Canada. Mm-hmm. Well, when it came out, when he came over, it kind of like fell, you know, hit Sherry. Mm-hmm. And my grandpa Sam was doctoring her. Well, he told her, come in my bedroom. My grandma Mary told my mom and her to go in that bedroom. And I remember me and Mandy and Deshane, we was all up there playing. And she was laying on the bed. She was like sick, like hospital sick, you know, body sick. And he didn't know what was wrong with her. Anyway, she sat up. Oh, she was laying on that bed. And my grandma's dresser with a mirror was laid right there. And she's laying there on the mattress. And she sat up on But when she sat up and she looked in that mirror, her body was still laying down.
Hey.
Yeah. So it was like, you know, that whatever it was that hit her, the bad that was trying to take her.
Yeah.
You know, it was her. Yeah, she got really sick that time. Really, really sick. I remember that. But I remember my Grandpa Sam doctoring her, too.
Mm-hmm.
They rolled her up in a buffalo robe. Buffalo robe.
Hmm.
Yeah, but she got real sick that time. And Casey did, too. Here there was a bunch of black things all over that those spirits took out of Casey, all over his back end. It was like he was lame, kept favoring his back leg, couldn't walk or anything.
Yeah.
Geez, all those, like, they were like arrows, they said, all over on his back, kind leg. Sherry, too, they were trying to take Sherry. Oh, it was scary.
Oh, that's wicked. It's your grandpa. He was a powerful old man. He stopped all that, huh?
Yeah, he did. He helped Sherry. He helped my dad. And, you know, I think my dad, that's the last time my dad went to Canada to rodeo after that. He never did go over there. But, yeah, so crazy things happened.
Yeah.
Crazy but real things, you know.
Uh-huh.
Think about it. It's kind of spiritual world we live in.
Yeah, that was my sister, Andrea Weatherwax. So I had some guests lined up and a few of them backed out. That's why it's kind of like a slower podcast, slower time right now. And so, I mean, I wouldn't worry because this next month I'm going to hopefully catch up with the ones that weren't able to keep to their schedule with me. You know, it's no big deal. Things like that happen. Ending time, huh? Y'all never heard that term. It just means, well, whenever it happens, it happens. Kind of what ending time is. But all you folks that are out there, you know, across the world, all you Blackfeet that are living off the res, you know, I hope you all are doing all right. And I always hope that this podcast finds you in a good way. And you all know who you are, you know, in this. I got friends that are, you know, that stay in the same town I do, where I work at. So I'd just like to have a shout out to them too. You know, Dwight and your family. I know you guys listen. So all you Blackfeet that are out there, all you indigenous that ain't living on your reservations, I hope you get back home to visit soon. I hope you travel safely and get there in one piece. That all of the winged ones and the four-legged and the other travelers all have a safe trip. You know, when you guys are on the road, I hope you guys don't harm one another in an accident. Pray it all goes well. Everybody else, with whatever you're doing, I hope everything, you know, works out for you. Whatever you're worried about, whatever you're trying hard to accomplish, yeah, I hope it all works out. So anyways, we'll have more people on and we'll get back to it. Yeah, this episode kind of made me lonesome for the old days. So anyways, Yeah, well, we'll get more. We'll get more people. I have quite a few lined up, actually. So we got to get these schedules right. But I guess until next time, huh?
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.